Jeremiah chapter 1. You know, last week we've been talking about our calling. And how do we know what our calling is? Right? How do we know what our calling is? How do we know what our assignment is? Everybody say, how we know. Man, that was pretty good. Everybody say, how do we know? Man, they're fired up this morning, Pastor Dustin. Thank you. Yeah, that's what happens when he brings the Spirit in here. Yeah. In Jesus' name. How many of you know we all have a calling on our life? Amen. How many of you know that we all have a kingdom assignment? We all have a heavenly assignment on our life. Amen. So what is it? So what is it? Everybody say, how do we know? Jeremiah chapter 1. We started this last week, and I'm going to recap these scriptures that we read last week, because it said that a prophet is called. Amen. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, he said, I sanctified you. I set you apart. I ordained you, Jeremiah, to be a prophet to the nations. And then I said, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to whom to all I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces. Amen. For I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I love it that God has a plan, that God has a purpose, that God has a calling, amen, that God has a calling and he has an assignment for our lives. Before we were ever born is what it just said. Before we were ever born, it said that God had a calling on your life. God had a plan for you, not just the preacher. God has a plan for you. Come on, somebody. I said, God has a plan for you. This message is for you, not just people that we see all around us that we can say, oh boy, really, God really has his hand on his life, or God really has his hand on her life, or God really has his hand on their life. We see that and we can say that all the time, but this message is for you. Everybody say, it's for me. If you're still here, God is not through with you. If you're still here, I said, God is not through with you. He really does have a plan for your life. Say amen if you believe it. So here's some things we had started talking about last week. And just how do we know? How do we know what our calling is? Pastor, you say we all have a calling on our life. How do we know what it is? Everybody say, how do we know? Everything God has made was created to solve a problem. Everything God has made was created to solve a problem. Satan solved a problem. God wanted to be chose. God wanted to be chose. So Satan solved that problem. You're going to serve one or the other. Right? Satan solved that problem. Eyes solved the problem of seeing. Ears solve the problem of hearing. Your feet solve the problem of going places. Amen. So your assignment is connected with problem solving. Amen. Amen. Your assignment, your calling is connected with problem solving. A dentist solves teeth problems. A doctor solves physical problems. An athlete or a musician, they solve an entertainment problem. Come on, somebody. Amen. They solve an entertainment problem. Everything in the world that you see, if people are successful at it, it's because they learned how to solve problems for people. See? If they're successful and effective at it. Now listen, everything, and the bigger the problem solver you are, think about this, the bigger problem solver you become, the bigger your rewards in life become. Amen. The bigger problem solver you become, the bigger your rewards in life become. You are a reward to somebody. Everybody say, I'm a reward. You are a reward to somebody. Moses was a reward, listen to this, to the Israelites. Joseph was a reward to Pharaoh. You are a walking reward for somebody. Church, somebody needs you. Amen. You are a walking reward for somebody. Somebody needs you today. You are exactly what somebody needs right now. I said, you are exactly what somebody needs right now. Listen, not everybody needs Jamie Smith right now. Amen. Not everybody needs Jamie Smith right now, but some of you need to hear what I've got to say to you. Amen. And I don't have to try to fit into everybody, but if I can find the people that I'm assigned to and the people that are assigned to me, and we can find each other, then big things can happen for the kingdom of God. When you find, listen, because I don't have to try to fit into everybody. Amen. You are genetically perfect. Somebody, not everybody, somebody needs you. Amen. Amen. Somebody needs exactly what you are. Amen. Do you know that? They don't need another you. They don't need somebody else. They don't need, they need you. There's no other you. Listen to me. God does not run a Xerox machine. God doesn't run a Xerox machine. They need you. There's no other you. God created you. He made you just like you are because he needed you to solve problems that nobody else can solve. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. He created you the way you are so you can solve the problems that no one else can solve. Hallelujah. Here's another point about your calling. Check this out. I talked about it last week. You don't decide it, you discover it. The creation decides nothing. The creation decides nothing. Come on, church. Listen to me. It only discovers. It only discovers. The product does not decide what it's going to be. The manufacturer does. Amen. We don't decide it. We discover it. The manufacturer does. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are. It's not about what you do. It's about who you are. See, a painter doesn't decide to just start painting. A painter doesn't decide to just start painting. No, he was a painter. The talent was already in him. A singer, praise God, doesn't decide to be a singer. Because I know all of y'all, a lot of you have decided to try to be singers. And some of y'all sit behind me. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You got a beautiful voice, kind of like a cross between Fergie and Jesus. Listen, you don't decide it. Singers are singers. You don't decide it, you discover it. How many know what I'm talking about? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Listen, if you're a public speaker, you don't decide to be a public speaker. You discover it. If you're a business person, you don't decide it. You just got it. Amen. Come on. Now listen, you have to develop it. You have to sharpen your skills. You have to get all the knowledge you can. You have to learn all you can about your field and your trade. You have to get all the influence. Yeah, everything you can do, get all the knowledge you can. But you don't decide it. You discover it. Amen. Does that make sense? Get everything you can get, but you don't decide it, you discover it. The bottom line is this. It's not what you want to do, it's who you are. Amen. Amen? It's not what you want to do in your life, it's who you are. What are you? What are you? And then you begin to build on that. Amen? Most people never discover their assignment. Sadly. Most people never discover their assignment. In a recent poll, 70%, listen to me. In a recent poll, 70% of people polled hate their job. That's why they sprint to the door. 5:01, bro. Poof. 70% in a recent poll, because people sadly never discover their true assignment. Amen. 5:01, they sprint to the door because they're ready to get out of there. Here's another way we know. Talked about this one last week. What angers you? What angers you? Moses got mad when he saw the Egyptian beating the Israelite. Come on. And it angered him. It stirred up his calling. It stirred up his kingdom assignment that God had created him for. Something is supposed to, change in you. It's supposed to, you know, when something stirs you, what is it that stirs you up? Do you know that anger is the birthplace for change? Anger, listen to me very carefully. Anger is the birthplace for change. Amen. Mothers against drunk driving. It's called mad. Some mother seen her son killed by a drunk driver. And she got mad about it. It angered her. It stirred her up. And she started an organization called MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. It stirred her up. It got her passion going. It was her assignment. Amen. Amen. What stirs you up? What gets you going? What angers you? What gets you upset? See, some problems I see, I can easily walk away from. Yeah, that's somebody else's problem. They can do that. They can deal with that. But what is it that gets you stirred up where you say, you know what? That ticks me off. I'm mad about that, and I got to do something about it. Amen. Come on. What is it that stirs you up? What is it that gets you going, right? Amen. And then that's a clue. You know that, right? To what your calling is. What stirs you up? That's how you're supposed to know that you're supposed to get involved in those things. Right? Amen. Amen. Watch this. What you love the most is another way that you know. What do you love the most? What are you listening to? What do you talk about the most? What are you reading? What are you watching? What kind of interest do you have? What really gets you excited? Here's a big point. Here's a big point. Look at this one. When you discover your assignment, it'll reveal your enemies. When you discover it, it'll reveal your enemies. Amen. When Nehemiah discovered his assignment to rebuild the wall, Sanballat and all the other ones showed up. Come on, somebody. Amen. Sanballat and all the other ones showed up. When Esther found her assignment, there comes Haman and all of them. When Jesus found his assignment, here comes the Pharisees and the rest of them nipping at his heels. When you find your assignment, it will reveal your enemies. It'll reveal your enemies. It'll reveal the ones. Come on, somebody. It'll reveal them. It'll reveal them. Every assignment, listen, has a birthplace. Did you know that? Every assignment has a birthplace. And you know what? That's why it's so important. That's why you need to be in a relationship with God. That's why it's so important, because every assignment has a birthplace, because this morning could be the birthplace of your assignment. This morning could be the birthplace of your assignment. Listen, I'm dead serious. The potential of a chosen place with a chosen people coming together in the name of Jesus, your life can change in a moment. This could be the birthplace of your assignment, church. Every assignment has a birthplace. Today could be the day your life changes forever. Hallelujah. There's still some upper room experiences. There's still some Bethels like Jacob had where he got into the presence of God and his whole world changed and he got his assignment. There's still upper room experiences and things. God still has those places available for you. A chosen place with a chosen people at a chosen time. Your life has changed, your assignment. Amen. Isn't it beautiful? That's why you got to have a relationship with God. That's why you got to have that relationship with God. Here's another one. Your calling, it'll take you places you never intended to go. It'll take you places you never intended to go. I want you to listen to this point right here. Listen to this for a minute. There's a place, there's a people, and there's a purpose for you. Amen? It will take you places you never intended to go. I promise you there's a place, there's a people, and there is a purpose for you. And the Lord wants me to tell you this morning that you have not been everywhere God's going to take you. I said, God wants me to tell you this morning that you have not been everywhere that God is going to take you. So get ready for changes. I said, dramatic changes in your life are coming. There are people that you have not even met yet that are going to come into your life. And the Lord wants me to tell you, you're in transition right now. Changes are coming for your life. You better believe it. Changes are coming. Your assignment will take you places you never intended to go, ever. I never intended to pastor in Mottville. Or Constantine. Your assignment, church, listen, it will take you places, I promise you. Ask missionaries. Ask people who really get their calling in their heart. Your assignment will take you places you never intended to go. Amen. God's assignment on your life. I tell you, boy, if you could just find those key places. Do you know that? If you could find those key places that God wants to get you to, man, everything changes. Amen? Here's a really big point right here. Your assignment, it may seem small at the moment, but it can be the link in the chain of miracles in your life. It may seem small. Your assignment, it may seem small right now. And that's why the scripture says in Zechariah 4:10, it says, despise not the day of small things. Come on, somebody. Despise not the day of small beginnings. God wants me to tell you this morning, don't minimize your assignment. I said, don't minimize your assignment this morning, church, because you compare yourself to other people who seem to be doing a whole lot more than you. You compare yourself and we tend to minimize our assignment. Don't you dare play down anything that God has called you to do. Don't downplay it. Where you are right now, don't you play it down and don't you minimize it. God has you here in this sermon right now, this very moment, the job you're working, the things you're doing, right now, that's where he has you. Amen. Don't minimize your assignment. Hallelujah. He has his hand on your life, and it grieves his spirit when you minimize where he has you at right now. You hear me? He has his hand on your life. Live. Be where you are right now. Not when I get there. Not one day. Not someday. Come on. Be where you are right now. Live right now. Enjoy every moment right now. Be all you can be where God has put you at right now. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Be all that you can be where God has put you at, everybody say right now. Right now. I think about the old prophet in 1 Kings. Think about that old prophet. He said to his servant, he said, go look. We're supposed to get some rain. And he says, go look. Take a look. He comes back, says, I ain't seen nothing. He said, go look again. He comes back, says, I ain't seen nothing. He says, go look again. I've seen nothing. I've seen nothing. I've seen nothing. He goes 7 times. And then he finally comes back. And in 1 Kings 18:44, he says, I saw a cloud the size of a man's hand. The size of a man's hand. And the prophet Elijah said, oh my God, pack your bags and run. I hear an abundance of rain coming. Amen. He did not despise the day of small things. Now listen to me. It was little. That was a little bitty cloud the size of a man's hand. It was little. But it was loaded. But it was loaded. And some of you are in a season where what seems to be materializing in your dream is little. But the Lord wants me to tell you this morning that it's little, but it's loaded. It's little, but it's loaded in your life. Don't minimize where God has you. Don't minimize the assignment that God has you. You want to minimize things. Your assignment may seem small. Oh, take that little basket right there and put that little boy Moses in that basket. And then release that little bitty baby in that basket. Pharaoh didn't respect that. Listen, Pharaoh broke Zechariah 4:10 scripture by not despising the small things. Amen. He wasn't afraid. Just a little bitty baby. Pharaoh didn't see it as a threat to him. It was little, but it was loaded. Come on, somebody. Moses was little then, but it was loaded. He didn't know that Moses was going to topple his throne one day. He wasn't a threat because he's just this little small thing. It was little, but it was loaded. And one day Moses said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh and all his power and all his wealth couldn't do nothing about it because it was little, but he was loaded. Come on, somebody. He found his assignment. Hallelujah. He was little, but he was loaded. Don't minimize the assignment that God has on your life, church. Listen to me. Stay in the center of your assignment. This one's so important. So important. Stay in the center of your assignment. When did David get in trouble? When did David get in trouble? When he should have been out there fighting, leading his troops in battle, but he stayed home when they went to war, and that's when he fell into adultery. He didn't stay in the center of his calling. Unclutter your life. Listen to me very carefully. Unclutter your life. Paul said in Philippians 3, "This one thing I do." He said this one thing I do. He didn't say I dabble in this and that and these other 40 little things I do. He said this one thing I do. Unclutter your life. Amen. Unclutter it. Get these. He said this one thing I do. Stay focused. Amen. Amen. Don't dabble in this and that, church. That's what happened to our brother. Don't dabble in this and that. Stay in the center of your calling. Amen. Stay focused on what God's called you to do. Here's a big one. It may appear to be a total contradiction to your skills. Oh, come on now. This is very important. Because Moses said, "I can't talk. How can I be your messenger?" Jeremiah said, "I'm just a kid. How can I be a prophet?" Come on, somebody. It will be a total contradiction to your skills. Timothy said, "I'm just a youth." Gideon said, "I'm the least of all of my tribe." Amen. Your call will be a total contradiction to your skill set. Check this out, church. Listen, your calling, it will force your greatest gifts and talents to emerge. It will force your greatest gifts and talents to emerge. Watch this next one, though. And it may require unusual study. It may require unusual study. You're never born qualified. Come on. You become qualified. Come on, somebody. You are never born qualified. You become qualified through your experience. Listen, let me tell you something. There's two ways you get wisdom. There's two ways you get wisdom: through mentors or mistakes. And God, listen to me. Mentors or mistakes. And God says you choose. You're going to get some wisdom one way or another. You're going to get some wisdom one way or another, but God says, you choose. But if you won't let me put some mentors in your life and people who've already lived longer than you, people who are smarter than you, people who know the word more than you, people who pray more than you, people who know more than you, who are more successful than you, God says, if you won't let me put mentors in your life who can really, really, really save you from pain and heartache, if you won't let me put mentors in your life, he said, let's just look and see what's behind curtain number two. Mistakes. You're going to get wisdom one way or another. Church, you're going to get wisdom one way or another. But if you don't want to get wisdom that way. So who's your mentor? Let me ask you that. Who's your mentor? Who in your life do you look to? Who are you listening to? Who are you talking to? Who are you reflecting with? You need mentors in your life, church. It's very important. Your calling may require unusual study. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved. I don't care what it is. Study to show yourself approved. Be the best in your field. Amen. Study to show yourself approved, church. It's very important. This one's huge. Check this out. Your assignment, it will always cause someone else to succeed. It will always cause someone else to succeed. Your assignment will always cause someone else to succeed. It's not about you. It's not about you. That's where we get it all messed up. That's what happens. It's called pride. It's not about you. That's where we get it all messed up. It will help other people succeed. When you get into your assignment, it makes people look good all around you. When you get in the right spot and you get where God's got you, it makes people look good all around you. Listen to this. David enabled Saul to kill Goliath. He couldn't do it without him. Joseph enabled Pharaoh to feed the world for 7 years of famine. Right? Think about it. Think about it. Elijah helped Elijah fulfill his prophecies. Somebody else succeeds because of your assignment. Church, I said somebody else succeeds because of your assignment. If you're calling, you thinking it's just all about you and becoming some big shot, some wealthy, healthy, wonderful life, and that's all I'm doing this for, and it's all about me, and I'm some big shot, and it's all about me, and God give me what I want. You'll never get what you think you're going to get. And if you do get it, you're going to be miserable. Amen. When you think it's all about me, God bless me, God bless me, you're never going to get what you think you're going to get. It's your legacy. Your calling is your legacy. How will you be remembered by those around you? You see, some of your assignment is prayer. And we think that we need to be doing something big. Prayer is big. Come on. Prayer is big. We think that we ain't doing nothing big and all we're doing is just praying. Prayer is big. One of the assignments on somebody's life may be to be a prayer warrior. And that'll be your legacy. Hallelujah. Your assignment will be your legacy. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Problems are the gateway to significance. I want you to listen to me. Problems are the gateway to significance. You will be remembered for the problems you solve or the problems you create. Amen. Problems are the gateway to significance. Your calling is your legacy. You will be remembered by the problems you create or by the problems you solve. Who will carry on your calling? Who will carry on your calling? Are you a problem solver? Or are you a problem creator? Amen? I'm almost done. Watch this. Watch this. It's geographical. Watch. It's geographical. You know that, Jonah? It's so important. This is important because your calling is geographical. Jonah was in the wrong place. He was not where God told him to be. That's why the whale ate him. Come on, somebody. He wasn't where God told him to be. So that's why the whale swallowed him. Because God's calling on your life is to a place. God's calling on your life is to a place. Go where you're assigned. Always be where you are, church. Come on. God can get you anywhere he wants in 24 hours. You got to understand this. God will get you anywhere he wants in 24 hours. One day, Ruth is out begging in a field. 24 hours later, she's riding around in a limo chariot being fanned by servants, and she owns the field. She's Mrs. Boaz. in 24 hours. She's Mrs. Boaz. She owns everything. Joseph is in prison stripes. 24 hours later, he's the second in command. 24 hours later, he's the second in command, and he becomes so wealthy in 24 hours that he gives his whole family, his daddy, all of them ranches. He went from a prisoner to a real estate mogul. Amen. In 24 hours, David was tending sheep. 24 hours later, he's in Saul's palace. Y'all don't believe this stuff, do you? Y'all don't believe it. God can get you anywhere he wants in 24 hours. I'm telling you, it's geographical. Your calling is to a place. It will take you where you will be celebrated, not just tolerated. And I'm not talking about weird. Don't get weird about it. I'm not talking about that kind of celebration. Your gift and your calling and your assignment. It will take you where you are celebrated, not just tolerated. Come on now. Jesus said when you go into a city, you need to see if that city is even worthy of you. Jesus said when you go into a city, you see if they're even worthy of you to be there. Come on now. Amen. And if they don't celebrate you, like I said, don't get crazy and weird about it. But if they don't celebrate you, y'all know what I'm talking about. He said, if they don't, he said, then shake the dust off your feet and go somewhere where you're celebrated and not just tolerated. That's what he said. If you're not celebrated, shake the dust off your feet and go where you're celebrated and not tolerated. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Go where you're celebrated. You don't give a Rolls Royce to somebody who don't clean their car. Come on. Go where you're celebrated, not tired. You don't give a Rolls Royce to somebody who don't clean their car. Amen. Hallelujah. It's my last point. I want you to listen to me. If God is not with you, if God is not with you in that business deal, in that venture, in that journey, in that ministry, and so if God is not with you, don't go. And if God doesn't tell you to do it, don't do it. Amen? I mean, I put it like, I make it hard on God and easy on me. That's what I do when I make big decisions. I make it hard on God and easy on me. Okay, I've done everything I know to do, God. I've fasted, I've prayed, I've read your word, I've looked, I've studied to show myself approved. I've done everything I can do. I've kept my ears open. I've asked my elders. I've gotten counsel. I've done everything that I need to do. Now it's on you, God. I'm making it hard on you and easy on me. Amen. You do everything you know to do. Study yourself full, pray yourself hot, think it through, and then set yourself free. We talked about it already. Come on, somebody. You do everything you do. You make it easy on you, and you make it hard on God. God's got to push me through that door. I'm making it hard on you and easy on me. Because I know I'll do what you want me to do. I just got to know it's you. I know I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I just got to know it's him. Amen? I just got to know it's him. Hallelujah. God made you. God made you, and he knows how to speak to you. So if God's not with you, don't go. And if God don't tell you, don't do it.